stand up. Vision Care team, who is here to stand up? I think we're all here. Claire and Gloria, Frank and Marlene, Alicia and Doris. And so you're going to be seeing more of this team. They're going to, we're on a newly formed schedule that I'm going to be able to, after the service, to spend more time with the congregation. And Vision and Care members will be coming up and offering prayer. And we want to continue to be a congregation where if you come with a prayer need, that you'll come forward and prayer will be given for you. So thank you, Vision and Care. We're just delighted that you are forming. Coughing and okay. Let's pray together. God, I hope we can say that it is good to be here together. Just have this image that we come as individuals and then we join and we form your community, the church. And so thank you that you are here with us and that we are here with you. And in this togetherness of you with us, I pray that you would help us to be listeners. I pray that you would be our inspiration and our courage. I pray that as we are talking about thought life, that you would allow us to know that our thoughts can be changed, that they can be differently focused. And that you want to be involved in our thought lives. So thank you just for this time together, for the worship and song already, for the warm greetings that we've extended to one another, for our youth, for participating in the life of the church, and for new and already formed teams at the Gathering Church. We give thanks this morning. Amen. So as Chris said, we're continuing this morning. We're in week 2 of a series on our thought life. And I'm just wondering how you did focusing on our memory verse this week. Oh, Ryan, other verse. Oh, yeah, that's the one we're talking about. When did you catch on that that was not the verse that we've been memorizing? Ryan, let's go back to it for a second. This is my moment of trying to be funny. But it's actually really, really true. Because some of us might need to be reminded that our thoughts are actually untrue or dishonest or unjust or impure or ugly or negative or vicious or worthy of criticism. We might see that, oh, sometimes that actually is my thought pattern. And we are invited into a new way. So Ryan will go to the proper, I kind of like Phil 48. We'll go with Philippians 4:8. Let's read this together. Finally, beloved, if anything, it has been encouraging for me this week to hear that some of you are participating in memorizing this verse. I think, Chris, you represented well some people's thoughts last week were, maybe I'll participate, Catherine, maybe I won't. And yet I know, like, several of you have jumped in on memorizing this, and I never want to let the opportunity pass. Has anybody memorized it and would like to say that memory work to the congregation? Any brave soul? Well, we are going to say thank you to how brave our youth and youth leaders are this morning. So thank you for doing that. Then on this next slide, we want to remember, how did you do focusing your thoughts this week? Just this reminder. So since we are free to choose what we think about, what specific thoughts did you increase? What specific thoughts this week did you decrease? What kinds of thoughts are distressing of your soul? How did you pay attention to those thoughts that were actually distressing to your soul? And what types of thoughts nourished and hydrated your soul? Take just a moment to give some answers, some reflection to that. And if you weren't here last week, it's okay. Those are good questions that you can focus in on. So, fortunately, we are not limited to only thinking one way. How we think, our thought patterns are not in cement. That we can choose from an infinite number of potential thoughts. There are so many thoughts that we can think. And because our thinking is not fixed, it can constantly be improved or enlarged, or I love that word, that it can nourish and hydrate us. But what has to happen in that is we have to make a commitment to that. We have to enter in and say, I'm going to work on my thought patterns. I'm really going to work on my thought life. I think many of us know that negative thoughts really corrupt our brain, and they trigger harmful states that we can fall into. I don't say it lightly. Sometimes our thoughts can lead us to anxiety or to moodiness or to depression or to irritability. And what we're invited to do is we're invited to train our minds constructively. So the positive, the nourishing thoughts, they become automatic. They remove the thoughts that actually have been full of error, that are not true. And when I think negative thoughts without challenging them, what I know is that I just keep following in that path. I actually believe those negative thoughts. Scripture tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what we have been given. We are not meant to live in a spirit of fear, but we have power and we have love and we have this mind that is sound or has a capacity to be sound that can work towards thinking thoughts that are lovely and true and just. And because no one else can think of you, our thought lives really are our own responsibilities. So I wrestle with negative thoughts. I often have a constant dark shadowed narration that came from words spoken over me when I was a child. And I've spent lots and lots of years saying those aren't true and making those thoughts smaller. Some days living without them completely. But that has taken a lot of training. That has taken help from counselors and coaches and spiritual directors, just because I don't want those thoughts to be the ones that keep coming up over and over again, or the ones that I think about or allow to settle in. So that really does become our responsibility. So Terry might encourage me to not think those thoughts, and someone in the congregation might say, oh, Catherine, that's not true. I don't think you should be thinking that way. But I need to do that inner work with God. We live in a society that is really, really bent on highlighting that which is wrong about everything and everyone, actually. And so it's really, really common to have in front of us these negative messaging, these images that we can't live up to. And they become so prominent sometimes in our lives that we begin to not notice that they're not thoughts of purity and justice and loveliness. Any permanent progress in our lives, I believe, starts within our minds, and then it begins to spread outside into our actions. So again, I'm going to just say that I really believe that lasting growth begins with the changes to what's going on in my mind, what mental images I hold on to, what words I hold on to, what I read, what I focus on, what I allow my thoughts to continue with. And this morning, we're going to focus on thoughts about ourselves. And I think if I were to leave one message that I could give over and over again to people, it would be this message. Knowing that you are on God's mind, that you are in the heart of Jesus, this is of utmost importance to us on our faith journey. As I was working on memorizing Philippians 4:8 this week, most often I stopped at the second word, finally, beloved. I just stopped. I put my hand on my heart. I just, finally, beloved. This is about me. And I can say to you this morning, finally, beloved, because this is about you. So it's a me and it's a you. And I just stop there, reminding myself, savoring that I am a beloved child of God. This is in our home, and it's Child of God. I just think it's such a beautiful reminder. To be honest, I bought this in hopes that one day we will have a grandchild. And this is a gift that I will give that child, that we will give this child. But when I even think about giving this to maybe a grandchild, it's this saying, may you know from your very beginning that you are a child of God, and may that continue all the way in to your adult life. You are a child of God. So I want you to picture a child in your mind. Any child, it could be an imaginary child, it could be a child that you know. And I want you to think about what words would you use to communicate to that child that they are loved by God. We would all do this differently. So form a picture. It could be your own child, or if you're an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent, it could be a neighbor, or again, it could just be a child that you have a picture of in your mind. What words would you want to use to communicate to that child that they are loved by God? We're just going to pause. So inside each of us, there is formed something that some people will call a self-concept. Just say it's something formed in us. And if you're not aware of it, then likely what happens, it works to at a disadvantage to you. And it speaks words silently, and it diminishes our capacity for growth and for contributing into others' lives and into society, and it really slows down our ability to know joy. And again, I know that mine has. I know the words that have formed a self-concept within me that I work diligently on creating a new self-concept. So your self-concept, it's the picture that you hold of yourself at an unconscious level. It's just in there. And the good news, I think this is great news, is that you were not born with a self-concept. This is not how you come out as an infant. And so your true self-worth, my true self-worth, is based only on what God says about you. It is not based on how you feel about yourself, and it's not based on what others say about you. Always when you're up here speaking, you have so many caveats that you want to say. But I'm going to stick with that today. So that we want to grow our true self-worth based on what God says about us and not about our feelings. And coming in, God speaks through people. He speaks through scripture. He speaks through articles. So we learn what God thinks about us in a variety of ways. But we want to base our true worth on what God says about us. And so I'm wondering, do you have a go-to verse about who you are in Christ? Do you have a verse that you go to remind you who you are in Christ? Mine this week has been finally beloved. That's where I go. I love this beloved word. So we're going to look at a few of these verses from Scripture. So we're talking about on one side, you can see it, I am. So that's what we want to be able to say is, I am. So I am fearfully and wonderfully made, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I want us just to read together, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's say it together. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Another very short verse that you can memorize, apply it to yourself. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a really, really beautiful, beautiful verse. For you were created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. It's the very beginning of our lives. I am always on God's mind. You are always on God's mind. And the verse is, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, says God. Your walls are ever before me. It's signifying, this verse is so important from Isaiah 49. It signifies that his people were always within his sight. So God always has us within his sight, that God's eyes are ever upon us, and he never withdraws his eyes from us. never withdraws his eyes from us. I think of that as little kids, like they're forming, they're in not even toddler stage yet, when our eyes divert from them and they zip our heads back and say, like, look at us, look at me. Don't withdraw your view. Don't withdraw your eyes from me. And this is how we can think about God with us. He does not withdraw his thoughts or his eyes from us. I am chosen. Let's say that together. I am chosen. So I'm chosen by God who called me out of darkness of sin and into the light and life of Christ so I can proclaim the excellence and greatness of who he is. And the next slide talks about I am a child of God. I just love these two different translations of this verse, Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And in the New Living Translation, how beautiful, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. I think that is so beautiful. So in this verse, what is being communicated is that God communicates from his spirit to our spirit. So the Holy Spirit communicates to our spirit that we are his children. And then the Holy Spirit bears witness to this. Says, yes, I agree. You are God's child. That's what bearing witness means here. And keeps communicating this to us over and over again, that we belong to God, we belong in God's family, and that we are now in Christ. And the Spirit confirms to us what is true on a very deep and unspoken level. So when we talked before, if our unconscious thoughts are carrying negativity about us, the Spirit is battling against those and also going deep within us to communicate again and again and again to our spirit that you are God's beloved. So a question becomes, how do you view yourself? There are many, many stories recorded in Scripture that show that we are not alone in maybe our hesitations about ourselves. So if you said, what is my view about myself? Well, I'm not so sure, or it's not so great today. We can find stories of that within Scripture. This weekend, the leadership board looked at the calling of Moses. And so I'm just going to read a little bit about Moses. Like Moses said when he was called by God, really like, who am I? And he was doing it out of like, certainly it's not me. But it's a great question for us to say before God, who am I? And to name who we are and who God says that we are. So Moses also said to God, suppose I go into the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Like Moses just keeps going, it can't be me that's supposed to do this. And then also Moses said, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? And they say, the Lord did not appear to you. It's a big hesitation we might have when we're invited to go and be our best selves in places. And then Moses finally says, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Moses could not hear God's deep love and affirmation of him because his own thoughts about him self got into the way. But I love where God intervenes here. This God's spirit to Moses' spirit, where God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So God comes in and involves himself in this calling of Moses, says you're not alone and I see your goodness. Jeremiah's calling is also quite similar in response, like Moses. So in Jeremiah 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. This is what God speaks to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And I would want to think that Jeremiah went, wow, That is so encouraging. This is great. I can do anything with and for you, God. But instead, Jeremiah says, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak and I am too young." Immediately, Jeremiah points out what he believes are his weaknesses. I can't speak very well. And by the way, I'm really, really too young. This morning it was great. Wasn't great. This part wasn't great. Ryan was having a little bit of trouble figuring out how to get the words up on the screen. And we were over there and I certainly can't help him. And all of a sudden I said, "Oh, Hannah's here." So Hannah, one of our youth group members, comes over and helps. If Hannah would say, "Well, I'm way too young to help out anything in the church," we wouldn't be able to do some of the things that she is gifted and able to contribute into the church. But the Lord again intersects in the life of Jeremiah, just as he intersected in the life of Moses. And he says, "Oh, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone that I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." So when we're having these hesitations, these negative thoughts, these low thoughts about ourselves, we want to look and see, where does God come and intersect with those thoughts? And what really are the words of God that we want to be paying attention to? So in these stories, and I think again, like in our own lives, we can find this commonality, but we can then bring in Philippians 4:8, which invites us to focus on the ways of God and also to focus on things in our own lives. So whatever is true about me, I want to focus on. Whatever is honorable about me, I want to be able to name that, because that's a good thing to celebrate, not in arrogance, but in celebration. Whatever is just and pure, whatever is lovely, I want to be able to think on those things about myself. And I encourage you to use Philippians 4:8 and go through it slowly and come up with a few things about yourself that you can find when you look at these individual words. I want us to know that a mediocre self-concept, it doesn't come from God. That is not given to us from God. It comes from seeing ourselves differently than God sees us. And it's almost like we are disagreeing with God. "No, God. No, God. No, that's not true about me. No, God." And I don't think we want to be a people who spend our time disagreeing with God. We want to continue to align our thoughts with Philippians 4:8. Also, oftentimes how we think about ourselves can actually set the ceiling for us. So it means we bump up against what we think about ourselves and then we stop there. And it prevents us from entering into what God invites us to do and what we were created to do. So if I think I can't do this or I'm not this and that becomes my ceiling, I wouldn't extend myself. And we are invited not to have low ceilings with God. Some of you might be thinking, "Oh, Catherine, is this just all positive self-talk? Is that what you're leading us into?" So I want to just remind us that a few decades ago, there was a very popular theology that was called the worm theology. So the worm theology was that Christians were to describe themselves as worms. And in simple terms, the worm theology was like, I'm going to lower myself as much as I possibly can to magnify God. So I want us to think about a loving God. Does God think that you and I need to describe ourselves as worms so that God can feel glorified? This was preached. This was sung. Think about yourself as a worm so that God looks really, really good. It's upside down thinking, but it was available to us. There was actually a hymn that said, "Would he, Jesus, devote the sacred head for such a worm as I?" So it's out there. It's just not the way I desire for us at the gathering church or anywhere to be thinking that is the way that God thinks about us. Paul, in his writings, he talks about being this worst sinner of all. He recognized his faults. He recognized where he had messed up, and yet he continued on, and it is Apostle Paul that teaches us to think on things that are lovely. So this is not saying we're perfect, and we're not in need of God's forgiveness or God's grace. It's not that. It is thinking, making our thoughts align with who God is. At the board retreat this weekend, we brought up a couple of scenarios that might be drawn to the attention of the board in the church, because we really want to be paying attention to what's going on. So board members, can you actually imagine if in Kids Zone some of the teachers were saying to the children, "Children, the Bible teaches you that you are a worm in God's sight." We'd want to talk about that. And we'd want to come and say, what do we want the children of the gathering church, the children everywhere, to believe about who they are in God's sight? We're going to do some thought work. So if you're just joining us in this series, we're not having homework, though it kind of becomes that. But we're going to do some thought work. And you have a piece of paper and a pen in front of you. And if you don't, just put up your hand and Lois and Lee will kindly come and give you one. So what I would like you to do is I'm going to invite you to just write three statements that reflect what you believe, how you say this, what you understand that it means to be a beloved child of God or a wonderful child of God. So I'm going to invite you. I said aim for three. If you get one, that's great. And then do two more at home this week. So I want you to write down statements that reflect that you are a beloved, a wonderful child of God. This is a way of reminding ourselves of our true identity, and allows it for us to be easier to live out of this. We're going to be trying to get rid of some of the things, the negative thoughts that get in the way. So let's take a moment to do that. Amanda, can I bug you to come up and just play some music? Bother you, invite you to do that? And we're actually, this container is very familiar to the gathering church. We've filled it often. And I'm going to invite you to, if you're comfortable, to come up and put in here these statements. And we're going to say, these are the ways that we know that we see ourselves in the eyes of God. So you're welcome to take some time to do that. If anybody would like the cross of Christ on their forehead just to seal what you have written down, I'm going to stand here and you can do this. Claire? Don't worry about that. You're going to do the first one. Just number one. I'll come back, Claire. You can turn me off, Claire.